Support for this KQED podcast comes from Stanford Blood Center. Stanford Blood Center is a proud supporter of KQED and encourages you to support local patients by donating blood. Learn more at bloodcenter.stanford.edu.
This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. We are going to talk in this segment of Forum about a subject which has aroused a great deal of anger, and to say that it's caused a firestorm would be to understate. A Minnesota dentist claimed he believed he was on a legal hunt. He's now facing charges with two others for actually wounding a popular protected lion with a bow and arrow and then shooting and killing him. The killing of Cecil the Lion has not only created a firestorm of anger, over 800,000 people so far have now signed a Justice for Cecil online petition calling on the government of Zimbabwe to stop issuing hunting permits for endangered animals. Big game hunting is big business in Africa. It brings in millions, employs tens of thousands, and attracts thousands of hunters, most of them from the United States. The Minnesota dentist, for example, James Palmer, who has a felony record for illegally killing a black bear in Wisconsin back in 2006, paid $50,000 to hunt Cecil the Lion. In this forum segment, we want to discuss trophy hunting and find out why conservation groups say that some of this hunting actually protects animals in the long run. And we're going to go first to Zimbabwe and talk with Johnny Rodriguez, who chairs the Zimbabwe Conservation Task Force. And it's good to have you with us, Johnny Rodriguez. Welcome to the forum program.
Thank you.
I guess the place to begin is to begin with this particular incident. How anomalous was this, actually luring an animal out of a protected area at night with bait and then killing it? In other words, what I'm really asking is how vulnerable are these protected areas?
Very vulnerable. I mean, this has been going on since the land reform. It's been happening quite often. This is about the 24th lion that we've lost that were under study by and being researched by the Wanki lion team. So, you know, we're trying to put a stop to it.
Well, I understand there's a lot of poaching, but a lot of this is done. In fact, the dentist that we've been talking about here who did this hunting said he didn't know that his guides were taking him over to the protected area. He didn't know that it was Cecil the Lion, a very popular lion who is much beloved, beautiful animal with a beautiful black mane. But what about just hunting in Zimbabwe or in any African countries and doing it when some of these animals are endangered?
Yeah, it's a hell of a big industry. You know, the big problem is that some areas there's the ethics. You know, a hunter is supposed to have the ethics and the code of conduct, and if they abide by all the rules, there wouldn't be a big problem. But when you start baiting, which has been happening over the years, killing an impala and dragging it, scenting the place, and then luring the animal out of its protection zone, I believe that is wrong and it's illegal.
Should let me just ask you directly, because we were trying to connect with someone who sees things probably very differently than you do and believes that controlled hunting is important to preserve, particularly for conservation purposes. I mean, there is a moral argument, and we may get into that, and there's also the conservation argument. But generally, for example, in Australia, I believe you cannot import trophies or animals to be hunted for trophy. Should there be a ban, do you think, overall?
On these endangered animals, yes, there should be a ban, and I believe scientists should actually change the rules so that the importation of these endangered animals get stopped once and for all. You know, there's not enough. If you look at the track record in Africa, in 1980 there was 80,000 lions. In today's figures, there's only about 23,000 left, and it's going to become extinct. And I mean, you look in South Africa now; they've got 200 breeders, lion breeders, and that is cruel. It's inhumane. In Zimbabwe, we've got 15. People too that have been given license to breed lions. Where is this industry going to? You know, I know that people need money, but the thing is, these animals have got just the same right to live as we do. So why are we killing them just because it says it helps the economy? It helps the way I look at it, the safari operator, the national parks gets the fees for the hunt and whatever. But the thing is, a lot of people are not abiding by these rules, you know. So the only way to stop it is to enforce the ban.
And yet, there's not only the argument that it employs many people and it provides an income. There's also the argument that much of this money goes back into conservation. There's a lot of research done by some of these hunting organizations to find out how they can best cull from lion prides and how they can keep the balance ecologically and so forth. You're somewhat skeptical about all that, I presume?
I am, because the thing is, you know, if you look at the records and the audits that have been done, it is becoming an endangered species, and it should have the same protection. What do we do? Do we let it become extinct, or do we try and save these animals? These animals belong to the future generation, and I believe that paying $50,000 or whatever the case is, whatever you pay to hunt, right? Some of the benefits go to the protection of the wildlife. The balance goes to the landowner and to the safari operator. So it's very good. Now, in tourism, by having sightseeing and photographic, it generates employment. It generates a lot of things. It empowers the people. They can go into the hospitality industry. There's a lot of the tourism industry that can actually benefit, and the country can make more money. For an example, you shoot a lion, you pay so much, okay? That's a one-off. Now, we're not breeding enough lions in the wild. If you compare that, a lion in its lifespan can bring in over $1 million in tourism. So these are the figures. And, you know, when you use science and the modern way of looking at things, we have to try and preserve and not make them become extinct.
Well, we intended to connect this morning with Ben Carter, executive director of the Dallas Safari Club, which is a hunting group and sees things very differently. I'll just say for the record that he's also in Zimbabwe, and we'll continue to try to reach him. But he's in Tanzania. But their position is that it actually it's important to protect hunters' rights, that they do more for wildlife and for the wilderness, that they indeed help conservation and help preserve. That, in other words, they're saving more lives of endangered species than causing more of them to die. But one of the questions I wanted to ask him, and I'll put this out to listeners, maybe some of you can perhaps tell me, I know this goes back to Teddy Roosevelt and Ernest Hemingway and so forth. Hunting is a big American sport of big game and all that sort of thing. But I wonder what the thrill is in you know, killing an animal with a bow and arrow. This particular lion, for example, suffered for about 40 hours after being shot with a bow and arrow before it was shot and killed. And it's something I confess I can't get my head around. I just don't understand. And maybe somebody can tell me what the thrill is about this. This particular dentist, for example, spoke of it as his passion. And some of you may have seen, because it went viral, a young woman who killed a giraffe. And also, what's hard and difficult to understand, or maybe not so difficult to understand in one sense, is the anger. But the anger that's directed toward these people in ways that are extreme in their own right. You know, we're going to kill we should kill your family, mount your head on our office wall, all that sort of thing. I mean, I understand the reaction to cruelty, but this sort of thing has, for example, received a great deal more attention, for example, than this 8-year-old child who was killed nearby here in Santa Cruz. I'm talking, of course, mainly to those in the Bay Area, but there was an 8-year-old child who was raped and murdered and wound up in a trash bin. And I love animals as much as the next person, but you wonder, what about the priorities? What about the response? And how much does conservation also play a role in here? You hear Jenny Rodriguez saying, and it's certainly a strong argument, that this kind of hunting ought to be banned. And I guess what I want to hear is your reaction. I know there's been a lot of reaction to this. There's been a lot of emotion about this. Let's talk about it in the way we normally talk about things, in a rather civil and reasonable way, and find out what your thoughts are as well as your feelings. Johnny Rodriguez, again, is chair of the Zimbabwe Conservation Task Force, and We've been trying to reach Ben Carter from the Dallas Safari Club. I should say just a couple of things about that club. They do give thousands and thousands of dollars to conservation. They're not the only one that does that. And they do make an argument that they are preserving this wildlife, even the endangered species. It's a complicated argument. There's a lot of nuances to it on both sides. They give money to research, even locally, to the University of California, to a woman named Paula White, who's done a lot of research, which essentially pretty much says it's okay to hunt lions to avoid reducing the quotas on lions. And you get into this whole sense of numbers. And you're hearing it from Johnny's point of view, but there may be some of you who want to weigh in on another point of view. At any rate, I'd like to hear from listeners. Our toll-free number is available to you right now. It's 866-733-6786. So feel free to join us and let us know what your thoughts are. 866-733-6786. You can also email us, forum@kqed.org, or post questions or comments right onto our website, kqed.org/forum. Or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQED Forum. A lot of ways you can communicate. Let me begin with a caller named Brian. Brian, you're on. Morning.
Hi. I really like your show a lot, Michael, and I'm glad you brought up this this topic. I'm producing a documentary currently on trophy hunting, where we've actually followed a trophy hunter in the bush in Tanzania for a month. And it's very difficult for us to see how there was any sort of conservation effort really put into the hunt that we actually witnessed. In fact, the particular hunt that we just went on, they actually went out and killed a hippo to drag it through the bush to bait the lion. And I'm trying to keep my mind open, but I just see the conservation effort on this it doesn't add up.
Understand, and I thank you for making that comment to us. It doesn't add up for you either, Johnny Rodriguez. Huh?
Yeah, what the gentleman said, it does make sense. The thing is, the hunting fraternity can play a very important role. Okay, we're not cutting them out. There is, especially here in Africa, there's a lot of conflict between animal and human. As the world is becoming more and more populated, you know, the areas that we're supposed to safeguard for tourism and for the wildlife, so the animals have got rights to live, the same as we've got rights. You know, you've got animals that actually become habitual in actually attacking humans. You're going to need somebody that can actually either euthanize or actually do it humanely, shoot it, so that there's no pain, no cruelty. I mean, it's one of the things you notice is that when you see an animal walk with his pride and everything, it looks so beautiful. It's you might afford it only once in a lifetime, but to see it in its own habitat, not in a zoo, not in a circus, but in the habitat where he plays with his kids, his wife, you wouldn't like anything to happen like what happened.
Well, okay? In fact, let me ask you something, because talking about playing with the kids and the beauty of lions with their cubs, are these cubs going to have to die now because they're essentially the pride will kill them?
You see, people have to be educated, because the thing is, what happens in the wild is the lion, the males, when they come into maturity, this is when they're most targeted. They find they've got a pride of lionesses. They produce their own bloodline. So as soon as you take that lion, that male lion, out of the equation, the next male comes along, kills all the cubs, okay, and breeds his own bloodline. And this is where the problem comes in, because you've got animals being killed for the trophy. You've got the hunter coming in because it's a sport, it's a tradition, or whatever the case is. I believe it's just an ego hunt. I mean, just an ego to satisfy and show off to their friends. And at the end of the day, the system starts collapsing, because now you're not letting nature take its course and let them live, and where everybody in this world can actually come and see them. It's going to come to a stage where you won't. You might as well film it. I admire these photographers and filmmakers that go out and actually film these things, because when they do become extinct, at least the future generation, which I'm not going to be here, will be able to see just on film, but they're not going to have the good opportunity of seeing these animals in its own habitat. They're magnificent, they're beautiful, they're magical. How can you be so cruel? Shoot something so you don't shoot it in the head in a humane way. You shoot it so that you don't destroy the trophy. Now, I've got a problem with that.
Well, I've got a problem with shooting him with a bow and arrow and then letting him, I said, bleed, as in this case. But this case was clearly outside of the law. And this dentist, who has received, as you can imagine, an immense amount of enmity and hatred, has done a lot of hunting. I mean, as I said earlier, killed a black bear in Wisconsin back in 2006 illegally, and has hunted, white rhino and leopards and caribou and musk, polar bear even. And as Dan Brecke of KQED pointed out, Tule elk here in California. I'm looking at an online comment from one of our listeners who was just recently in the national park 2 weeks ago with a daughter and grandson to visit clinics and hospitals outside the park as part of our Global Strategies partnership with Wild for Life. The area is one of the poorest in Zimbabwe and is currently experiencing a drought and extreme shortages of food and health care, and there is a synergy between the people who live outside the park and the park itself, where there's a great deal of respect for what is happening inside the park and with tourism. Zimbabwe children go to classes and overnight camps and are taught to preserve the park and its animals to protect the environment in spite of their dire circumstances. We hope that the attention to the killing of the lion at the enormous cost of $50,000 will also call attention to the plight of the people who live and try to preserve the park. $50,000 would provide enough food and health for an entire village for 2 years. We hope the backstory gets through if saving human lives comes through, along with the need to save the lives of endangered species. And let me bring more of our callers in. We go to Stephanie. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Stephanie. I'm calling from San Jose. And I just, I've grown up hunting all my life, and I think it's a very, you know, I don't like to call the sport because I don't think that's a good recommendation on it. And I just wanted to say, to express for the hunting community that most of us are not wealthy enough to go out of the country and to go hunt endangered species. I don't think that's okay or ethical. For most of us, we go to public parks in California where you pay for the hunting license and, you know, you camp, you do things as cheaply as possible. This is a good ethical way to get meat that's not raised on farms where the meat is maltreated. This is a way to get meat where they've been raised in the wild. I also think bow hunting is complicated because it's very difficult in the first place. It's just hard to be accurate, let alone to be able to sneak up close enough so that you can actually, you know, sneak up close enough without an animal, which is very intelligent and has incredible senses, to be able to sneak up that close and even get a shot fired off is very difficult. I just want to express that I do think this is a tragedy. I think most hunters would think that way. And I also think that that most hunters aren't even, you know, thinking about the idea of going off out of the country to kill some expensive animals.
All right, Stephanie, I thank you for that call, and that's probably true about most hunters, although most of the hunters who do go to Africa to kill these animals for whatever reason do come from the United States. And I don't want to give the impression in talking about this particular hunter, this Minnesota dentist, that all these animals that he killed were done illegally. I mean, he's killed moose and mountain lions as well as polar bears and so forth. I don't know about the legality. The only one that I know about is what he was convicted of back in 2006 for killing a bear in Wisconsin. More of your calls, and let's get Sean on next. Sean, hi.
Hi. Just real quickly, you had mentioned the tragedy of the murder and rape of the 8-year-old girl in Santa Cruz, and we're wondering about the priorities of the media coverage in regards to the killing of Cecil.
Not so much media coverage, Sean. I was wondering about, and I'm not equating these things, I was wondering more about the attention, particularly on social media. There's a lot more attention to the killing in Africa. But go ahead, please.
Well, I guess my only comment is I really think that the reaction is that, you know, everyone condemns murder and rape. And I think part of people's reaction here is they're wanting to condemn this act and say that it's not socially acceptable. because in regards to it being legal, people are surprised by that, and they just want to come out and say, hey, this is not a socially acceptable practice to hunt this big game.
Well, what do you think about something like Piers Morgan? I don't know if you know that name. He used to do talk here in the United States. He's over across the pond now back in England, and he caused a whole firestorm because of his strong sentiments in favor of gun control. But he said, for example, I'd like to hunt down this Minnesota dentist and put his head on my office wall. This seems to me perhaps a bit extreme.
Absolutely. I don't like rhetoric in any regard, especially that leads to violence or violent acts. So, you know, I'm all about approaching things in a logical way. So, you know, I don't support that. I understand the emotion behind it. It's disturbing to see. And, you know, I just don't agree with the practice of trophy hunting in general. I support your other caller in the right to hunt for meat, and I understand the difference. I think people just want to come out and put a little bit of social pressure on this dentist and say, hey, you know, we don't accept this practice.
All right. I thank you for that call. And somebody on Twitter says the argument is hunters help preserve wildlife with the money they bring in. If they really care, why not donate that money? And some are saying that, by the way, there's an article that I was reading where he's saying a lot of the people who are so stirred up on the internet, shouldn't they give money to conservation, or wouldn't they maybe put their money where their comments are? A Facebook comment from William, the death of Cecil the Lion is the most outrage white people have been over the death of an African in a long time. Okay. Here's Jody, who writes, does any reasonable thinking person actually believe that Walter Palmer, an experienced trophy hunter already convicted of a felony for the illegal murder of a bear, was ignorant of the identity of a satellite-tagged lion roaming in a protected area? And I think this needs to be brought in here, Johnny Rodriguez. Cecil did have a GPS on him, and that was destroyed, right?
Yeah, he had a collar, and these guys tried to destroy the collar, and then they dug a hole and tried to bury it. But except, you know, with modern-day technology, you can find anything. And so you can see there wasn't an ulterior motive. The other thing I'd like to explain, you know, I do understand the radical, and, you know, you get all sorts of people in this world. I believe, you know, that if all of us act to actually be diplomatic and sit down, respect one another, let justice take its course, whoever's guilty, the judge or the courts will do their job. And I believe that people, if they lobby behind the congressman, that's what we're hoping. You can only change the laws and enforce these laws. Once these laws are in place, then it'll work, because you know, I believe, you know, these millionaires who have got a time on their hands and they've got the money, instead of concentrating and helping the veterans that have fought in Vietnam War and the rest of the people that are suffering, they can't get a job, or the people that have got incurable disease, it's a better way of actually putting the money there. I mean, like, yeah, we need schools, we need clinics, we need roads, we need... You know, let's empower these people that live in these communities. Because, you know, why should just a few people in the world have all the enjoyment on and sacrifice everything that we have just because it makes money? It doesn't make sense. And I advise everybody, you know, there's a lot of ways that we can do this. We want the laws changed so that we can enforce it and make other governments, because some of us have to live under dictatorship. So it's very hard to change the laws when the people don't want to listen.
Johnny Rodriguez,
if you make it an international, everybody will abide by it.
Johnny Rodriguez, again, chairs the Zimbabwe Conservation Task Force, and I'm looking at a statement put out by the Safari Club International. The Safari Club International supports a full and thorough investigation of the circumstances surrounding the death of Cecil the Lion in Zimbabwe, and they have imposed immediate emergency membership suspensions of both the involved hunter and his guide, professional hunter, and they will remain in place pending the outcome of an investigation. And this is a pro-hunter organization with 200 chapters that represent all 50 of the states here in the United States. And they condemn unlawful and unethical hunting practices. I'm reading a few online comments here from you, our listeners. Rick says, most everyone I know feels badly about the killing of Cecil for a trophy. However, it seems seriously unfair to bankrupt a hunter with little knowledge about the events that took place on that day. The firestorm of anger is essentially a mob, not much different than lynch mobs in the past. What about battery-raised chickens we all eat happily? This is much more cruel and on a massive scale. Let's have some sense here. It's a little like all of us fearing commercial flight while happily driving our order of magnitude more dangerous autos to the airport. A few more comments. Alejandra says, I personally don't understand the fascination with big game hunting. If an animal is to be hunted and killed, it should go to use, as Native Americans did, not just as a trophy to place on one's mantle. But what may be especially saddening is the fact that the cubs were left behind and such a majestic and dwindling species was taken for no reason. If cats and dogs can coexist, then why can't humans and animals? One more comment on Twitter. Nada says, are you kidding me? There's more outrage for a lion than black people getting killed by police. Let me bring some more comments on. Benita joins us from Palo Alto. Benita, welcome.
Hi. I just have one quick comment. It seems to me that for a trophy to be truly a trophy, $50,000 is too cheap, right? We should charge these hunters $2 million. They should not have their posse of guides. They should not have their Range Rover where they tie the meat to the back of it to lure Cecil out. I mean, the hunter should be on the ground with maybe one guide and, right, nature, back to nature, pay the $2 million. That would be a trophy. Using the posse with your tied behind civilization is just cowardice.
All right. I thank you for that call, and I wanted to get a hunter's perspective, and I've got one online now. Thank you, Aaron, for yours. He writes, Michael asked for a hunter's perspective. The satisfaction gotten from a successful hunt comes from the days and often weeks of time that one puts into successfully researching, stalking, finding the proper animal, and taking a clean shot, even if you miss a shot or never even get close enough. Modern arrows are capable of making a through-and-through clean shot that will kill an animal in seconds, if not minutes, if the shot is taken properly. If it's true that they had to search for this animal for 40 hours after he took the shot, it indicates to me that this hunter didn't take the proper shot. Perhaps he was rushed, or it was at the end of the hunt and he was overeager. To me, taking an improper shot that results in an animal suffering for 40 hours means you should never have taken that shot. From what I've read, this guy has a healthy disregard for hunting laws and probably has a healthy disregard for the animals he hunts. If that's the case, he's not really a hunter, he's just a slaughterer. So we're getting a lot of different comments here, and I thank you, those of you who have called and emailed and tweeted and so forth. We are, alas, running out of time here. Just one more comment from Madeline who says, I'm remembering our visit to Hwange over 30 years ago. That's the national park in Zimbabwe. I had a whole branch of the family who had lived there for generations. It was a magical experience with so many sightings of all the gorgeous animals, and I cannot for the life of me understand why anyone wants to hunt. Perhaps if you need to feed your family, but to hang a bloody trophy in your home is beyond my understanding. Again, we could go on with this. Obviously, I appreciate your feedback. You can continue this discussion online by going to our website, kqed.org/forum. But we are going to shift gears and talk with Michael Hiltzik, Pulitzer Prize-winning author of a new book called Big Science, in our next hour. Thank you, Johnny Rodriguez, for joining us, chairman of the Zimbabwe Conservation Task Force. And thank you, our listeners. We're here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, an hour repeated 10 to 11 in the evening. For all of us here at KQED, I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schremm and Maria Minetti Schremm, founders of Clos Pegase Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.